He strapped himself in and began going through the pre-flight check. The ground crew gave Brandt the thumbs up, and they took off moments later, with Brandt in the front of the cockpit in the pilot seat, and Adler in the rear, manning the 13mm machine guns, leaving the nose gunner bombardier position empty. Brandt hoped they weren't going to regret that decision later. The men's seats were literally back-to-back, so they could pass instructions and information to each other simply by shouting over their shoulders. But there was an internal intercom system available as well. Brandt took the plane into a vertical climb to give them some altitude. Once in the air, he turned the aircraft to the south and began to follow the route Hitler had shown him on the map, flying from Potsdam to Nuremberg before turning east to cross the Swiss Alps near Salzburg. Once over the Alps, they would make their way through Austria and into Hungary, continuing from there down to Romania and then out over the Black Sea. The extra weight from the cargo made the aircraft sluggish and slow to respond to Brandt's commands, just as he'd suspected it would. He made a few preliminary maneuvers, getting a feel for the way the aircraft responded so that he would know what he could and couldn't do in an emergency. The plane moved about the sky with all the finesse of a brick, which was going to make matters rather difficult if they encountered enemy aircraft, but there wasn't anything he could do about it at this point. They had been in the air for just over an hour and had started crossing the Austrian Alps when things went south. Brandt glanced at the topographical map in his lap, making certain that he knew exactly where he was in relation to the peaks below him, and when he looked up again, a pair of American P-51 Mustang attack fighters dove out of the sun to his right. The Mustangs were faster and more maneuverable than his aircraft on a good day, never mind when it was loaded with crates of gold. He knew his only hope of survival was to get down amid the mountain peaks and hope that the American pilots didn't have the nerve to follow. Without hesitation, he shoved the yoke forward and threw the Junkers into a desperate dive.
Hang on!
The plane turned over and headed toward the earth, the thunder of the guns from behind him as Adler opened up let him know that the Mustangs were following them down. Bullets began stitching their way across the fourth wing in response, leaving half-dollar-sized holes in their wake. But thankfully, they didn't appear to have damaged anything important as the plane kept flying. Brandt threw the aircraft into evasive maneuvers, twisting about the sky as he sought to escape his attackers. A narrow mountain pass loomed ahead of him, and he aimed directly for it, pulling up out of the dive at the last second and soaring between the two peaks at dangerous speed. Behind him, the Mustangs followed.
Dumped!
The next few moments were some of the most hair-raising he'd ever experienced in his career as a fighter pilot. He tossed his aircraft all over the sky, despite its heavy load, doing everything he could to throw the Americans off his tail. He clung to the mountains where and when he could, trying to get his pursuers to make a mistake as they twisted through the air, hoping against hope that one, if not both of them, would slam into the nearby peaks and leave him and his charge in peace to continue their mission. It was wishful thinking, and like most wishes, didn't come true. The Mustangs stayed behind him the whole way, firing at his aircraft when the opportunity presented itself, and content to stick with him when it didn't. Bit by bit, their machine gun fire began to whittle away at the frame of his aircraft. At some point, one of them was going to get lucky, hit the fuel tanks or aileron controls, or even the ammunition that was stored aboard for the forward and aft machine guns, and it would be all over.
I have to do something, but what?
The solution was surprisingly simple and, dare he say it, rather elegant. He'd spent all this time and fuel trying to get away from the Mustangs. What if he got in close instead? The only shots that had been fired had come from the rear of his aircraft, and he would bet that the pilots of the American aircraft were convinced by now that the forward weapons were inoperable. Add to that the fact that all he'd done was run, and it was a good bet that the Americans thought him little more than a sitting duck. They wouldn't expect him to suddenly turn and bring the battle to them. If he could catch even one of them napping, he could even up the odds a little. He quickly explained to Adler what he was going to do.
Are you insane?
It didn't matter, though, because they were going to try it, whether Adler liked it or not. The right moment came sooner than he expected. Ahead of him loomed another cluster of rising peaks with a narrow pass between two of them. It was just the kind of terrain he'd been using for the past several minutes to try to shake his pursuers. If the American pilots were as good as he thought they were, they would be expecting him to make for that pass like a rabbit for its warren. Brandt intended to disappoint them. Instead of diving for the space between the peaks, Brandt pulled back on the stick, sending the Junkers into a steep climb, as if he intended to loop the plane in a big circle to try to get behind the mountains. The maneuver might have been worthwhile if he'd been flying one of the newer fighters, such as a Focke-Wulf or a Messerschmitt, but in an overloaded night bomber like the Junkers, he might as well have been standing still.